to me, but I'm so very, very blessed, you know, and the enemy will want you to wrap your lives up in worries, fears and doubts and negativity. But we are spirit-filled, born-again believers, filled with power from on high.
Yeah.
And, you know, God has broken down every image in our life, in our heart and our mind through the old man nature, and he's given us a new man, newness of life. And that's where we're to live every day, and we can live there every day, and we choose every day we're going to walk in that new man or that old man. We choose if we're going to be happy or sad. We choose if we're going to let the emotions affect us, which brings us down out of fellowship with the Father and our thinking and our in where we are. But God is faithful. He's such a loving, powerful, mighty God. And I'm just so blessed. You know, when we went to, I want to talk about Oxford. Because, you know, I've been praying to God. See, if we were honest here, there's a lot of the body of Christ has been divided up, or, you know, different things come in and people get offended or they get hurt or they don't like what you're saying. But the point is, you know, we've been called, you know, to unity. We've been called to love. And if we want to see the movement and the outreach of God's word, there's got to be unity before there really is commencement, you know. And if you're hungry for the truth, if you're hungry for God, if you're hungry for fellowship, then you will want to be together with those that have great desire to move. And none of us have got it all right, but we're learning, we're moving, we're growing, and we just need to keep hungry for God. You know, Jesus Christ said, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. How hungry are we? See, the hungry ones are the disciplined ones. The hungry ones are those laborers. And I believe every one of us on here are hungry for God. And whether there's different opinions on different things, put it aside and let's move with God. Let God work in you. Let God open up his word to you. Let God inspire your heart and your mind and your thoughts. We're to be led by the Spirit of God, and God is working in each of us, and he's given us his word, the written scriptures there for us to know that we don't need to be deceived. We don't need to worry or wonder what's going on. Everything is there written for us, and when we go to God, to his scriptures, and ask him to open it up to us, he's the one that enlightens our eyes with the knowledge and wisdom in the revelation of who? Jesus Christ. So we are wonderful people. We are powerful people. Sometimes our old man nature tries to resurrect itself, but we're to reckon it dead. You know, emotions and how we feel tries to wrap its way around our faith to dampen it and squeeze it out. But greater is he, the sinew and he that is in this world. And I was thinking of a record this week. And I'm going to read it from the scriptures because it's just such a wonderful record. I'm not going to elaborate. I'm just going to read it to you. But you can see the great love of God. And no matter how far away you think you are from God, he's closer than very breath itself. Just if you walked a million miles away from God, just one step and he's right there ready to meet you. And I just want to read this record. It's in 2 Chronicles. And it's an amazing record of a loving God and a forgiving Father who's ready there to forgive when we turn to him. When we break down those idols, like this week, Kim has been burning the chaff. We've been getting rid of stuff that we don't need. Things that clutter. And, you know, when she done that bathroom, because Kim likes to do all the painting and decorating. I'm not very good at it. I get more paint on me and I get more paper on
yes,
me than I do on the walls. So Kim says, no love, just let me do it. You do the running and toing and the lifting. So that's how we work in our house. And every house is different how they
and
do it.
And you did the shopping on WhatsApp.
Oh yeah, and I did shopping as well. She sent me WhatsApps and then I went to the shop. And then she FaceTimed me up through WhatsApps. And I had to show her the items that she wanted and what she didn't wanted. And everyone was looking at me and I'm smiling. I just said, yes, I'm happy wife, happy life. So I'm keeping the wife happy. But God is just so good. But Oxford, just so amazing. You know, Alison, you know, you really blessed all three of us when we came up there.
Definitely.
We were so excited that, you know, you responded, you know, through listening to the things that we've been sharing also, and you wanted us to come to be with you.
Our ears must have been burning when we were driving in.
It really blessed me because, like, you know, for a long time, we have felt isolated here, and I expect you have down there, and maybe other people have felt isolated, but, you know, God is at work, and he knows the hearts of each individual, So when we got the invitation to come up, I was extremely excited. And when we arrived, the love of God, it was like if Jesus Christ was really stood there in the flesh welcoming us.
Yeah.
The love was manifested. Yeah. The children.
Oh, bless you.
It was just such a great time to see you, to see the children, see Esther, she's a great blessing, and James and Ian, and to see Barbara, real older lady, 80 is she, Alison, and she's like us.
Yes, she's
86. 86, my God, she's like a 50-year-old.
She's compass mentis, got the mind of Christ, speaks the love of God. Yeah. She is such a strength and inspiration to so many, so many believers. Do you know, about a year and a half ago, God told her to make the commitment to pray for an hour in the morning, 9 to 10 in the morning, and 9 to 10 at night. And she obeyed. And I noted, because I see her every week, we fellowship, we speak on the phone, how the strength rose up within her. This steel, this confidence, that when she would speak on the phone, when she'd minister to people, when somebody would say something that was negative or not godly, she'd come straight out with the truth. And she has grown so much since she made that commitment. Wow. She obeyed the lead of God, which was to make the commitment of 2 hours prayer a day. Her life has changed.
Wow, that's powerful. And do you know
what? She's 86.
To look at her, to say she was 86 just blows my cookie, because she's more like a young 60-year-old, 50-year-old.
Yeah, she really is.
Very young, in heart, in mind, and she's strong. And her son was there with her as well. Just to see you guys was just so refreshing. And, because all of us, no matter wherever we are in our walk with God, we've all got a heart for God.
Yeah.
And it's the enemy that likes to come in to steal, kill, and destroy, to divide. And, when we look at the book of Acts, we see there was unity of purpose. And with that unity of purpose, there's commencement, that they could move with God because they were one heart, one mind, and one soul. But what I wanted to read you from 2 Corinthians 33 is...
Chronicles
33 is just to show you the great love of our Heavenly Father, even if we go off, even if we do things wrong. And do you know what? Sometimes a believer may have offended you or upset you, and we put them down and we withdraw from them and we mark and avoid them, all this rubbish. But what would God do? What does God do? Let's have a look at the love of God in here. And in 2 Chronicles 33, first one, it says Manasseh, right, you might have to help me out because I've got my reading glasses. Manasseh, 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abomination of the heathens, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord has said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord, and he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the sons of the Hinnom. Also he observed times, used enchantments, and used witchcraft, and dealt with familiar spirits, and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to all that I have commanded them according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err, and to do worse than the heathens whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake unto Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the kings of Syria, which took Manasseh among the fawns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. And when he was afflicted, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And he prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into the kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Now after this he built a wall without the city of David on the west side of Gibeon in the valley, even to the entrance at the fish gate, compassed about Ophel, and raised it up a very great height, and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took away the strange gods and the idols out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, and sacrificed thereupon peace offerings, thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. So if you think that this guy done all that real bad stuff, the king done all this bad evil in the sight of God, but when he was humbled down, you know, God turned his heart to him and seen his heart and forgave him. And not only did he forgive him, but he restored him as king. And if you think sometimes, you know, when we do something wrong, we go on this great big condemnation trip, you know, forgetting that Jesus Christ has paid the full price for all of our wrongdoings, all of our sin. Okay, we've been forgiven. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And when we just turn back in our hearts and minds to God, when we've screwed up, when we've done something wrong, and we know it, we just turn back to the Father. He's ready, waiting for you to move. Because God doesn't want us in a place of condemnation. He doesn't want us in a place where we're judging others also, or judging ourselves. But he wants us in a place of faith that we can really move. It says, the just shall live by faith. And, you know, there was one thing that Alison mentioned about Barbara. You know, God said to Barbara about praying, giving herself to praying, and at certain times. You know, she obeyed the voice of the Lord her God. And God has honored her and blessed her, and he's prospering her life. And, you know, it reminded me of the guys on before the day of Pentecost, when Jesus Christ, before he ascended, he told those disciples to wait for the promise of the Father, which he has said unto them. And these guys were obedient to this command from Jesus Christ. And then we know on the day of Pentecost, they were together, and cloven tongues like as of fire. God sent the promise that he had promised them, that Jesus Christ had mentioned, and they were filled with Holy Spirit. And these guys were just cleaned all the way through. All the chaff in their life, in their hearts, and their minds was burnt away. The law of the sin and death had no dominion over more, because now they were under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which made them free from the law of sin and death. There was no condemnation for them. Now they could really begin to walk. Now they could really begin to walk like the Lord Jesus Christ. They could preach, they could teach, they could heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. They could be those wonderful witnesses of the power of God and of the promise of God. Our God is a faithful God. You know, looking at Russell really blesses me, because God is so faithful to Russell. No matter what situation he's in, God comes through. God is a loving heavenly Father, guys. And sometimes we can get lost in our walk. Sometimes we can feel alone in our walk. We think that people don't understand our situation. But let me tell you something. God understands your situation. And if you're humble, and if you turn to God, and if you cease from your own works, and if you look to him, he will show you what you need to do. But we need to be obedient. And sometimes that obedience, you know, you might lose some friends as believers, because they may not like what you're going to do, or who you're fellowshipping, or what's going on. But we got to be faithful to God, because he's the one that has, we've been blood-bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are saved. We got eternal life. We are righteous, justified, sanctified, redeemed. we have that ministry of reconciling others back to God. And what is our focus, guys? Our focus is not just our relationship with the Father and with one another, but is to see all man to be saved and come on to a knowledge of the truth. You know, Jesus Christ said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes, not doubts, but believes, should not perish, but have everlasting life. To break the yoke of fear, to break the yoke of poverty, of sickness, of lack, out of people's life by the preaching of the word, by teaching people what they have and who they are in Christ, that they can come from darkness to light. Our job is to speak the word of God, is to proclaim the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. You know, God is the only one that can add to the church. The Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. We can't add nothing, but we can be faithful to God in, you know, desiring and praying for laborers. Jesus Christ encouraged the disciples to pray for laborers, that the Lord will send forth laborers into his harvest. That is one of our jobs to do, that we can go to God with a desire, with a passion. I go to God with a desire and a passion to send me one person that is hungry for truth, that is hungry for God, that wants to move. I want labor type people in my life, because I know that they will also encourage me as well as I can encourage them. So we should pray for laborers, you know, and it's God that gives the increase. We're to sow and water, but it's God that gives the increase. And I just want to go to Acts 2, and I want to read it from verse 41. And up until this point, you know, they received the gift of Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, verses 1, all the way through. They received Holy Spirit. We can see Peter stood up very boldly and proclaimed what was going on. And then he confronted these guys with the truth of what had been going on and what these people needed to do. And it says in we take it from verse 40, and it says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. See, God already had the people prepared. The people that were added to them, God brought them there so that they could hear that message. See, and if we're going to speak for God, we got to speak what he wants us to speak. Then he'll put the people in front of you. We got to get rid of ourselves and what we think we know, and allow God to work in us through that gift of Holy Spirit that he's placed in us. And when we do that, then God will bring those ready people to us. You know, it's not that we've got to go out and search. We are to be led by the Spirit of God, just like Philip was led by the Spirit of God to the guy, the the eunuch that was in charge of the Queen of Kansas, the treasury. There he was reading Isaiah, he didn't understand, so God sent Philip. See, God will send you to the ready people, and he'll send the ready people to you. So we got to listen to that voice of God. We got to be led by God. And with the information that we know and what God brings out of us, people will respond to what we got to say. So it says, verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Here's the recipe for success. And it says, and they continued, these people that were added, the new ones, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What the apostles were encouraging and sharing, they continued in this steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Fellowship is vital. Fellowship with God and with Jesus Christ and with one another is vital. Daily fellowship. And in breaking of bread and in prayers, there's that, you know, the prayers are powerful. Prayers will move God. Prayers of faith. When we go to God with our desires and our prayers, and it says, and fear came upon every soul, respect came upon every person, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. See, these gift ministers were able to operate in the power of God because the people desired. They were humble and meek to receive. And all that believed were what? Together. When we're believing God, when we put aside our own ideas, of how things should be done, and we become humble before the Father, and we become bold enough to declare what needs to be declared, then we'd be together and had all things common, and sold their possessions of good and parted them all to every man had need. And they continually, daily, with one accord, that unity of purpose in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They were so thankful for what they had. And they were, you know, they were born again. They were filled with the Spirit. They had this new lease of life in them, the Spirit of God in them. And it says, and they were praising God, genuine praise, and having favor with all the people. And the who? Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. When God is honored, when we keep him the first love of our life, when we get rid of our own ideas of how we think God's word is going to move, and become humble and meek and go to the Father and do what he shows us to do, and we fellowship with like-minded believers, things are going to happen. So I would encourage you guys, really pray for the work of God. Really pray for the work in your area. Pray for the laborers. Pray that God will bring you the hungry ones. Desire them. Let God bring them to you. Let God open up the doors to you. We don't need to do anything from our own ability, effort, or strength. It's not by our might. It's not by our power, but it's by the Spirit of God. And so this is what was in my heart.
Living each day for you, my Lord, knowing that the power is of you. I train my mind, your word is my sword, that shows me what is false and true. Sharing my heart with you, my expectations, you know them all. You have a goal, it's my goal too. I know you made me able when you called. Walking in newness, I am giving God the praise. I live forever sharing His grace. Giving the words I am to say, rise and expansion happens every day. Knowing your word, I have the strength I need to love and give my very a hope your son's return, but till he comes, I'm in his stead. Walking in newness, I am giving God the praise. I live forever sharing his grace. Yeah, thanks God for giving happens there.